after 10 weeks of witness testimony and arguments.
And several days of jury deliberations.
A Pierce County jury has found Officer Christopher Shane Burbank.
We, the jury, find the defendant Christopher Shane Burbank not guilty of the crime of murder in the second degree as charged in count one.
Officer Matthew Collins.
We, the jury, find the defendant Matthew J. Collins not guilty of the crime of murder in the second degree as charged in count one.
And Officer Timothy Rankin.
We, the jury, find the defendant Timothy Eugene Rankine not guilty of the crime of manslaughter in the first degree.
All three officers acquitted of all charges.
It's a verdict we've been waiting for since the officers were charged in 2021.
But this verdict isn't the end of the story. I'm KNKX Special Projects reporter Mayowa Aina.
I'm KNKX reporter Jared Brown.
On this episode of The Walk Home, we're going to unpack the verdict a little bit and give our immediate impressions.
And consider everything that might be coming up next.
So, Jared, let's talk a little bit about what this verdict means in a strictly legal sense. What was the jury considering?
So the jury acquitted Tacoma police officers Matthew Collins and Christopher Burbank of second-degree murder and also manslaughter. They also acquitted Officer Timothy Rankin of manslaughter. So not only was the murder case they were found not guilty, but they were also found not guilty of manslaughter, so recklessly or negligently killing Manny Ellis.
So what did the defense lawyers have to say about the verdict afterwards?
I think the most important thing they had to say was what they learned from talking to the jury about their verdict. One of Burbank's attorneys, Wayne Fricke, he said the jury had a lot of doubt about the exact questions we've been talking about for the past 3 years, really.
What I heard from them, number one, and of course what you've talked about yet, but number one, cause of death, that was an issue. And number two, which was important, extremely important, which we hammered on, they had serious questions about the credibility of the civilian witnesses, including the disappearance of the phones. And they had really questions as to why that happened, and that, some of them, that was a big deal.
Fricke's last comment there about the cell phones, that really stuck out to me. The defense attorney's allegations around the civilian eyewitnesses somehow conspiring with the Ellis family's attorney, James Bible, to destroy video evidence, destroy text message evidence that might have been on those cell phones. Bible told us earlier in the case that it's just a baseless accusation, just speculation, and he said he plans to file a complaint with the State Bar Association about it. And it goes to show with the jury that this vague speculation about the witnesses' cell phones, what might have been on them, some of the jurors saw it as a big reason to doubt the prosecution's entire case.
So I think it's really interesting that based off of what the defense attorneys are saying, it was the cell phones and the credibility of the witnesses that was a thing that they kind of got hung up on.
And the medical testimony as well. These jurors, they had varying opinions, according to the defense attorneys, about what the cause of death might have been. So it's not like all 12 jurors were in there unanimous about one storyline about how this happened. There were just so many question marks for them that that really set in reasonable doubt about the prosecution's case. And that idea of reasonable doubt is really important to understand with this verdict. These officers were acquitted, found not guilty, but they weren't exonerated. They weren't proven to be innocent. But still, one of Collins' attorneys, Casey Arbenz, he told the TV cameras that the verdict proved that the state never had a case to begin with and that the charges never should have been brought. They talked about this a lot as being a political prosecution.
I mean, it's just a huge, huge sigh of relief. I mean, what they've been through, not only the fact that they've been falsely charged with this horrible crime, but what the way that they've been portrayed and some of the things that have been said by people in government, obviously in the newspapers and such, it's just such a sigh of relief to know that the 12 people who actually heard the evidence said that they are not guilty, and they're not guilty of anything. So they're just thrilled, and they all just want to go home and hug their families.
So you were inside the courtroom when this verdict was read. What was some of the reaction that you noticed?
I was particularly paying attention to Monet as the verdict was read. She was hugging her friends, and as each not guilty came down, she just kind of crumpled more and more into the friend that she had sitting next to her. And when Judge Brian Chushkoff started polling the jury about asking them, is this your verdict? Is this the verdict of the jury? The family members quickly got up and left the courtroom holding back tears. It was a really emotional moment.
How did the officers react?
Once the family left, it was a different energy than we've had throughout the trial before. There was some rah-rahing, some cheering. There was a Merry Christmas that I heard. There was a lot of relief in the air. What about you, Maiowa? What reactions did you see outside of the courtroom that got your attention?
Yeah, so I was waiting in the hallway. I was streaming the verdict as it was being announced. And there were some people who were in the hallway who were also listening, and they sort of gasped, and there was some disbelief. But I saw Monet and her friends and family kind of rush out of the room. They sprinted towards the elevator and just made their way out of the courthouse up to Manny's mural, which is a big multicolored mural of Manny's face about 2 or 3 blocks from the courthouse. And Monet and her family and friends kind of waited for other people to get there and meet them there to process the verdict. And she got a hold of a bullhorn and started expressing how she felt. And just as a warning, we're going to play a little bit of tape, and she uses a lot of profanity.
"But this is a bullshit! A man was fucking murdered!
That's right!
And those cops!
No,
the killer
no,
fucking pig!
Fuck off!
If you pick the right one, your life might get ended too! Turn the fuck around! I'm holding up traffic! I'm holding up this bus! Fuck you! Tacoma! This is some fucking bullshit! Fuck mayor, fucking
After woman. She expressed her feelings, there were some construction materials that were on the sidewalk from left over from a project. She just started pulling those construction materials into the street. And so she essentially shut down that intersection, and they held a spontaneous protest right there in response to the verdict and what happened.
That sounds really intense. How did the night end?
Right. So the night went on. They also held a candlelight vigil. So people who were there brought candles. They laid some yellow flowers at the mural. And this was the first time we sort of saw Monet have a bit of a quiet moment with her friends and family. They all gathered around her and hugged her and basically consoled her as the sun sort of went down and people were still processing the verdict and everything that had happened. So that was the sort of immediate reaction to the verdict. But I want to zoom out a little bit and talk about some of the implications of the verdict. This is a pretty big milestone, but it doesn't mark the end of the journey in this case, right?
Right. In a lot of ways, this is a new beginning because a lot's been on hold over the past 3 years while we waited for this trial. The department's internal investigation of the officers, the family's federal civil rights lawsuit against the city and the officers, and a true reckoning from the police department about the harm this case has done to the community, the distrust that's been sown. There's a lot of questions to be answered. A couple hours after the verdict, Tacoma's mayor, Victoria Woodards, held a press conference to address the community. Standing behind her was nearly every city council member, the city manager, the police chief, and his top brass. It was really somber, and there was a lot of tension in the air.
"This verdict undoubtedly elicits a wide range of emotions from each and every one of us, including myself. Specifically, I want to acknowledge the anger, the distrust, the doubt, the fear, the hurt, and the exhaustion that we as Black people have experienced as a result of the history of policing in this country."
The mayor also addressed how she called for the officers to be fired and prosecuted when cell phone video first came out about 3.5 years ago. She said she reacted too soon out of heartbreak and that the officers hadn't gotten due process yet. She acknowledged that there's no decision from the police chief that would feel like justice, but at least the process would be fair.
"I share the depth of emotion that many of you are experiencing right now. As we individually and collectively grapple with our response to today's verdict, I know this is not the moment to share our past actions or to list our future plans to fix our systems. And let me be very clear, this is bigger than just the systems the city controls alone.
And so just to be clear, which decisions are we still waiting on from the Tacoma Police Department?
So Police Chief Avery Moore will first be looking at whether these three officers, Timothy Rankin, Matthew Collins, and Christopher Burbank, whether they violated TPD policy for how they used force on Manny, any medical care that they should have provided him, calling for dispatch, any part of this interaction that the police department thinks was improper. The police chief will also be making a disciplinary determination, basically whether these officers should be fired. But from talking to defense attorneys, they don't think that's likely that any of these officers want to return to law enforcement, and particularly not the Tacoma Police Department, just because of all the baggage that's piled up over the past few years.
I think I'm still processing a lot of what has happened. And the big question has always sort of been, how do you get these types of deaths to stop? And I don't know that this criminal trial could have answered that question, but I think that's something that I'm still thinking about, and I think that's something that's still going to color the way that we cover this story and other stories like it moving forward. Is there anything that's still sort of lingering for you, Jared, as we move into this next phase of covering the story?
I think more than anything, this represents to me the difficulty in charging and convicting a police officer. The cases that we have seen that secure conviction result in immediate action, there's just such undoubtable video evidence, and you have officers who are stepping out from the blue wall and saying something was not right. But in Tacoma, that blue wall, it held strong. You know, you had Masai Ford, Rankin's old partner, he came in and testified. And he said he didn't see anything wrong, and he would have intervened if he saw anything inappropriate. I think if you hear these verdicts and you're surprised, you really shouldn't be, because this is a continuation of the status quo. This is an extremely rare thing to happen in Washington. I think the last time three officers were convicted of manslaughter was in 1938, and all of the officers were eventually pardoned and set free. They served no jail time. Friends of the Ellis family, family members of other people who died at the hands of police officers put a lot of faith in this case, hoping that maybe something different would happen, because a lot of these past cases, they didn't make it into a courtroom. Those families didn't get their day in court, and Manny's family did. So they put a lot of hope in this, but they were also very distrustful of getting too optimistic about what might happen.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think one of the things that we've heard a lot from people is, you know, shocked but not surprised. I think there was that hope or just opportunity. There hasn't been this lever for people who have suffered this kind of violence or families who have suffered this kind of violence. This lever hasn't been available to them until now. And so being able to go through this process, I think it's been hard. It's been long. But there was this, you know, hope that, okay, maybe this time there would be some sort of accountability. And so I think that is kind of what is people are sort of stuck on. And it just kind of represents this gulf between the methods of accountability that are available and what the community is feeling or experiencing. This is something that I'm like, clearly I'm still processing it. We're both still processing it and trying to figure out what this all means. But I think sort of the big question that we've been wrestling with for long before you and I even started covering these issues is, how do you get these sorts of deaths to stop? I don't know that the trial could have answered that question, but I do wonder, just going back to what I was just talking about, I wonder what methods of accountability there are if not a trial like this.
And I think whatever the verdict was, it was always going to be unsatisfactory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what justice would have looked like mm-hmm. in that courtroom. Everybody in that courtroom probably had a different idea of what justice would look like. And I think this leaves us with the question of, is a criminal prosecution the best way to get justice in these cases? Is there another avenue that's going to come about?
These are our initial impressions. We wanted to make sure we got this episode out to you, our audience, as quickly as possible.
But it's going to take a while for the dust to settle around this and for us to really understand how this verdict, the trial, and what happened to Manny has impacted our community.
So we're going to stay on the story and we'll keep bringing you updates as we have them.
Thank you for listening.
You can find all of our reporting about the trial in this case at knkx.org/tpdtrial.
This episode was reported by me, Jared Brown, and KNKX Special Projects reporter Maiwa Aina. KNKX reporter Scott Greenstone also contributed reporting. It was written by me and Maiwa.
This episode was edited by Amy Jeffries.
Music comes from Marcel E.C. Augustin, Will Jordan, and Quincy Q. Henry.